Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Our guest on this segment is a total expert in all things media. As a veteran correspondent, Gail Murphy reported on entertainment and show business for ABC News, ABC Television, Sky News, BBC Radio, and Television, E! Entertainment, HollywoodToday.net, Big Media USA, and many, many others. She has personally interviewed, get this, 14,000 of the biggest celebrities and newsmakers on the planet. Today, Gail's taken everything she knows about crafting a great story for media and has put it to work for the average business executive, corporate spokesman, author, or inventor, creating a whole new world of solutions for business people with her website and company, and that is interviewtactics.com. She also has a new book entitled Interview Tactics, How to Survive the Media Without Getting Clobbered, The Insider's Guide to Giving a Killer Interview. Joining us on the line from her offices in Hollywood, California, to share the way of the media is Hollywood correspondent, media and presentational coach, also speaker and author, Gail Murphy. Gail, welcome.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me. What a nice intro.
Absolutely. Thank you. So how did the journalism field lead you to having an interest in creating a platform for business people to do the same?
Well, I actually don't think you can, at least for me, I mean, I'm only living in this one body, and that's this one right now. But I don't think you can get into journalism, and I don't think you can get into radio without really being fascinated by a really great story and being honored, at least for me, by the ability to be the messenger, you know, the funnel to which this story will actually go through.
So, yeah.
I mean, people say to me all the time, my friends and colleagues, don't you ever get tired? My God, how many interviews have you done? It's like, well, you know, I haven't heard the one that's made me want to put my gun down yet, or in this case, my microphone. So I always love a great story, but I must tell you, in all the years I've been doing interviews, I've met so many people that had such a great product, such a great service, you know, entrepreneurs, CEOs, actors, actresses, writers, designers, online gurus, you know, but they were so unprepared for the process of meeting the media, of crossing over the bridge into media land, that their interview was completely unusable. And why was that? Because, A, they didn't understand the language of the media, they didn't know what they were supposed to do, and nobody wants to work that hard.
What is it, do you think, that typical business people, let's say, misunderstand about how to show up in the media?
Well, because they think their product, service, and business can speak for them. Or they want their business, product, or service to speak for them. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news or the Grim Reaper here, but your business, product, and service is never going to speak for you. And why would you want it to? And not only that, why would you want the media to speak for you? You want them to be a conduit for you, and you want them to tell your story, but you get to program them. You get to tell them what your story is in a succinct, concise way to where it's so compelling, where they actually use whatever you tell them word for word. And the way in which you do that is by finding out how the media works, what it is they're looking for, and how you can give it to them. For example, and one quick one, so we can move on, would be sound bites.
Gail, you've pointed to the power of story. What makes a good story in terms of the perspective of the media, or otherwise?
A good story is one that's easy to tell. That's not too contrived, that doesn't have too many segues going on with it, that you just tell it. I mean, I work with entrepreneurs and businesses all the time, and I say to them, so what do you do? And it's like 5 minutes later, I still don't know what they do. And I say, would you mind very much if I just sort of coached you for a second here? What do you do? Who are you? What do you do? Just tell me what you do. And what that means is what problem do you solve for me?
So it's an action-oriented event. Let's talk about sound bites. I know that you've dedicated a whole section in your book, Interview Tactics, about them. How do you suggest that sound bites are the key to really shaping a killer interview?
Well, you have to understand what sound bites are. Now, in print, a sound bite is a quote. So if you just look at the front page of your newspaper or go to whatever your favorite news site and look to see what the president said today or to see what George Clooney said today, whatever is in quotes, that's what the writer chose to use of the person they were speaking with that best exemplified the idea of that particular paragraph.
Yeah.
So a soundbite basically is a brief and outstanding mini version of who you are and what you're selling in the moment. It is what the media thrives on. So you've got to have some soundbites. You've got to have some soundbites. And a soundbite could also be your pitch, how you pitch your business.
What's the process look like, Gail, for you know, creating sound bites from, let's say, the longer version so that a client of yours can show up and just be ready?
Well, I have a 5-part workbook in the back of my book, Interview Tactics, and coincidentally, it's called the Interview Tactics Workbook. It's a 5-part workbook, and it teaches you how to find your story. When you go into an interview, not only do you have to have some sound bites, but you have to have some talking points. And your talking points are basically what are the, just hitting it, just in terms of just a couple of words, just hitting it. What is it that you want to cover in this particular interview or in this particular encounter? And it's basically, you want to, who are you? What are you selling? Why do I need it? What problem does it solve for me, and where can I get it? So you must go into an interview knowing what problem you solve for the person that's going to buy your business product or service or use it. Let me give you an example to make it easy for
Absolutely.
You. I have a client that I work with here in L.A. called California Concierge. Okay, most people can't say it, no less spell it. Okay?
Beautiful.
But that's the name of her business. God bless her. I love her. She's a wonderful woman. So when I talk to her, so basically what a concierge is, you know, we usually know them from hotels, but a concierge is someone who does stuff for you for an hourly rate. It could be anything from going to Kinko's for you, picking up theater tickets, picking up your dry cleaning, going to the airport and getting your dog or your luggage from the airport.
Yeah.
It's a high-end assistant. Usually doesn't include office work, but it can.
Yeah.
Okay?
Makes sense.
But what is really? Well, what is she selling? She's selling free time.
That's the real product.
That's the product. Is she's selling you free time so that you can spend time with your family, so that you can work out, that so that you can maybe get some cuddles in there, so that maybe you can move on and use your time in a more cost-effective way. But she's selling free time. That is her product and service. Everything else is secondary. So what problem, so with that said, what problem do you think she solves for her end user?
Absolutely. It's all about that.
Yeah, it's all about that. So if you're selling a health product, if you're selling vitamins, if you're selling Pilates, if you're selling yoga mats, really, what are you selling? You're selling health. And what does what will that provide you? You're selling health, or you're selling a new way of life. If you weighed 300 pounds and now you weigh 120 pounds, what does that provide for you now that it didn't provide for you when you were 180 pounds heavier? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you really have to know what are you actually selling people?
We're visiting with Gail Murphy. She's the author of Interview Tactics, the website, one and the same, www.interviewtactics.com. We're talking about showing up in the media as a business owner, entrepreneur. You talk in the book about having at least four versions of your story or your sound bites. I'm curious about this sort of omni-story approach, and couldn't that get confusing if you were walking into an interview? Tell me about the mechanics of that. How are you thinking about it?
That's such a great question, David. The single most endangered thing in our culture right now, most people think, is probably the spotted owl, but, you know, thank God love the owl, that's not the case. It's our attention spans. Nobody has the bandwidth to take absolutely everything in anymore. So when we talk about sound bites, what I'm not promoting is that every single thing you say or do regarding your business is some sort of cutesy morsel.
Okay.
What I'm suggesting is that you have an arsenal of interview tactics that you carry with you wherever you go so that you are prepared to talk about your business, product, and service to anyone, anytime, anyplace, anywhere, about who you are, what you do, and what's next.
So it's like a glossary of or a vocabulary index that you're carrying around. You know it so well that you can kind of spew it out as you need
it's
to.
It's like the salad bar at Sizzler, honey.
All right.
That's exactly what it's like. So what that means is, you know, you've heard about the old idea, and I'm very careful about using the word old.
Right.
The old passé idea of elevator speeches, okay?
Yeah.
It's now down to 2 seconds. So what I'm suggesting that you do is keep your elevator speech if it works for you, but also have a 2-second version, a 5-second version, a 15-second version, a 2-minute version, and the version that you use when you're sitting next to somebody on the plane from New York to L.A.
Okay.
Okay? And we do it all the time, because when it comes to your own personal story of what do you do for a living, where are you from, what business are you in, you could talk about it in 2 seconds. You know, I sell health insurance, or you can go sit next to that person on an airplane and tell them the whole history of health insurance or whatever kind of insurance that you sell and still make it interesting and compelling. You just want to use interview tactics is really about the right tool for the right time.
Your book is Interview Tactics, How to Survive the Media Without Getting Clobbered, The Insider's Guide to Giving a Killer Interview. I was curious, how is the book structured? What can we expect in terms of structure?
My new book, which just recently came out, is the newly revised version of the book that came out in 2001, of exactly the same name.
Oh,
this
right.
book has 14 new chapters called The Lost Chapters of Interview Tactics. But I'm about to confess to you that they weren't really lost at all. They just didn't exist, because okay. sometime around from about 2003 to the present, we experienced a technological change a tsunami of changes in the way in which we connect and communicate with each other. That was never addressed in the first book because it didn't exist. So now it's all media, all the time, 24/7. The genie's out of the bottle and we're not going back. So how to take all this revolution in media and use it for your own purposes to be able to talk about your business, product, and service, because you got to pitch it to promote it and tell it to sell it, regardless of whether your BlackBerry is working or not.
Yeah.
Because if you can't tell who you are and what you do to one person, you can't tell it to a million. And if you can't actually articulate it in a way that is concise and succinct, that someone will remember it succinctly. It's like the old telephone game, right? You get to program what people say about who you are. For example, if I met you at a networking event, let's say for speakers, right?
Right.
You're a speaker. I'm at a networking event. You come up to me. You go, oh, you look at my little name badge, and you say, oh, Gail Murphy, so what do? I say, I celebritize speakers. Now, if I've done my job, you say, oh, really?
Right.
I'm a speaker. Celebritize me. The whole idea is just to get you to engage with me. So after we do about 3 questions and answers, then you say to me, if I do my job properly, you grab me by the arm and go, can we walk outside? It's like kind of noisy in here, and I think I'm like completely interested in what you do. I want to hear about what you do. And then I tell you what I do, and then I see you about a half hour later, and you see your friend, and your friend says, oh, who is that woman? What does she do? You say to him, she celebritizes speakers. Not only that, she does this, 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 and this. I have her card right here. I just checked her out on my BlackBerry.
Mm.
So the whole idea is you need to make your interview tactics about the people that want to buy your product.
Make it all about the customer.
Make it all about the customer.
It's really an extension of marketing in and of itself, and more and more than any time in history, I think it's more about that.
And the only reason why is because our attention spans are morphing at such an accelerated rate that people are starting to talk to each other in sound bites over coffee. And sooner or later, these sound bite people are going to want a sound bite or two from you so they can tell somebody else about you. So you need to open up a section of your brain called bullet points and start thinking about whatever it is that you already have that's pages and pages.
Yeah.
How can I take this and distill it down to like 5 major points? Because if I don't deliver this to a person in a way that they can actually take it in because they don't have the broadband anymore, they will come back to me and say, tell me more. Now, my pitch to you at this networking event is 3 words. I celebritize speakers. Celebritize is a made-up word, so you don't know that. You don't know what that means. I don't know what that means to you. I know what it means to me, but I've set it up in such a way that it has a big old hook coming out of it.
If I asked the question, what does it mean to you, how would you answer?
I'd say I teach speakers how to use the media in a successful way. And then I ask you what you're doing, what kind of media are you doing, how successful are you. I tell you who I am and what I do. I'm absolutely clear to tell people that I'm a Hollywood correspondent.
Yes.
Because that's my authority peg.
Yep. A lot of this is about listening, obviously.
Yeah.
Listening is big, isn't it, when you're being interviewed?
Well, see, most people, the biggest single, it's two things. Biggest single mistake people make when they do interviews or they allow people an interview of them is that they think it's about them. It's not. It's about the story.
Right.
It happens to be your story, but once you tell it to another person, guess what? It's their story because they're the ones that are telling it.
You know, speaking of stories, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. You've interviewed 14,000 plus celebrities. We all know the names. Who have you not interviewed that you'd still like to get to?
Oh, I think probably Neil Young, maybe.
Wow.
Certainly. I would probably go crazy to do Kofi Annan.
Mm-hmm.
I think would be great.
Mm-hmm.
I've never interviewed President Obama. I think that would be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I also think it would be interesting to interview Sean Hannity, you know, just from a completely different perspective.
What's the best story of the interview that you liked the most doing?
Well, I remember sitting backstage in Tacoma, Washington, sitting with Bob Dylan and asking him, you know, what it's like to be a celebrity, you know.
And he's an interesting character to ask that question as well, isn't he?
Sorry?
He's an interesting personality to have been asked that question, isn't he?
Well, if you can get his attention, if you can get him to, you know, if you can get to do a Vulcan mind meld with him for a second where he thinks he has to think you're more interesting than he is for the moment.
Wow.
And he said to me, well, it ain't like being Bananarama.
Right.
It ain't like being Bananarama. You know,
wow.
Everybody thinks it's limousines. You know, no, it's a job.
What's the thing we don't get about what it means to be a celebrity? I you've been close to so many of them. Is there a string or a theme or a quality? Is it that we feel like we know them but we don't? Or, you know, what's the thing about celebrity that we don't know?
Well, the rules are very different for them. Very, very, very different. And I think we're seeing that. I think we're kind of getting a close-up look with that when we examine the Tiger Woods story.
Yeah.
It's way more than you bargained for, regardless of when you bargained for it, because of the proliferation of media.
Yeah.
And it is also a working alliance. You know, you can't have one without the other, except that I don't think the media is any crazier now than it was then. Because the tabloids and the paparazzi don't necessarily play by the rules of journalism. And not to knock bloggers, I mean, they're some of my closest colleagues are bloggers, but unless you've been indoctrinated through some sort of journalistic ethics or school, you really don't know very much about sources and sourcing and citing your sources and direct quotes and connecting those kinds of dots. I mean, I could never and probably never would, because I started in network news, ever report anything as hearsay. And I have been in situations when I've been asked to report stuff as hearsay, it can always be retracted. And I said, I don't have any problem doing that. We'll just put your name on the story instead of mine.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's your brand at stake there, isn't it, as a journalist?
Yeah. And I remember early on someone had said, well, you know, I have, you know, my doubts about you. You sit on a story. I go, yeah, but the story's not done. I can't do it.
Mm.
And just because it's, excuse me, Hollywood and not Watergate and not some, you know, major industrial military complex, you know, sort of scandal, the rules don't ever change. You still have to cite your sources. You still have to know the people or have some information and check your sources about who you're talking to and the legitimacy of it, because you can always get it wrong, but you don't want to get it wrong from the beginning.
The media has changed. What do you think about just the fact that anybody can have a radio show, anyone can be on YouTube? How has it changed your view of the world you live in as a reporter?
Well, I think it's great. I think it's great that because I think everybody does have their own story to tell. And as a reporter, it does make my job a lot easier because I can find people that I need to find and figure out who they are and find them on the media map that much more quickly. But I just wanted to get back to something that you asked me earlier, where how has the rules changed? How is being a business celebrity different, better, or worse than being film, television, whatever?
Yeah.
The success in business is usually an extension of how much time you're willing to put into it in terms of creating it. And it's usually a direct result of your brand. If you're an inventor and you have invented something, it's usually something that springs forth from you. With celebrities and actors, it's different because they cannot really do what they do on their own. Musicians can because at the end of the day, they can always play. Go to a coffee house somewhere, they could busk somewhere, they can always pick up a guitar or find a piano and actually do their work. If they're, you know, if you're a musician and you're on a tour and touring is down, you can always, I don't know, get a job playing in a hotel bar somewhere if you're passionate and you love what you do and you really don't care and as long as you're paying the bills.
Yeah.
With actors, it's very different because it takes hundreds and hundreds of people to make a movie. And it's not necessarily your words. I mean, it's not your words unless you're Sylvester Stallone and you wrote Rocky. It's not your words.
Yeah.
And you don't get to pick the people that you work with. And you could become well-known for something that has absolutely nothing to do with who you are or anything in your life, just because the general public at large liked it. So be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. And also, when you see a lot of the young actors and actresses going in and out of the clubs and the paparazzi's always there, all that stuff is staged, you know. I mean, I think it's a little bit different when the actor's a little older and they follow them, you know, on the freeway or in Disneyland or something. That's out of hand.
Yeah.
But for the most part, all that stuff's orchestrated.
Gail, with interview tactics, how do you work with folks? The materials are available, and we should talk about where the book is available. Where is the book available, by the way? Is it everywhere?
Go to my website, www.interviewtactics.com. I also have a free report I'd love to give anybody. So
fabulous.
Just click on free report, and it's going to give you a whole bunch of interview tactics. I've tried to give away a ton of stuff so that... if I don't help you Monday, I'll help you Tuesday. If I don't help you Tuesday, I'll help you 2 weeks from Tuesday. I have audio. I have some videos that you can look at. I have my book. I do speaking. If this is of interest, you probably do want to get the free report because I'll put you on my very tight, unabused list, and I'll tell you about the teleseminars and the speaking gigs that I'm doing.
Oh, very good. And that would all be there at www.interviewtactics.com. Do you also take one-on-one coaching clients? Is that a part of the spectrum?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And also, if you have a partner that you're working with, or if you even want to do it with your top people, we can do it over the phone, or we do it in person and make it work. Absolutely no problem. It's probably good to jump into it with four sessions right off the top. I do, I require a lot of commitment. Time is money, so it's really important that you're on the bus before we leave the station.
Yes, and accountability is a huge part of coaching.
Yeah, and I make sure that you've read the book first because it's your money, and if we sit down for the first coaching session and you haven't read the book and you ask me what sound bites are, I have no problem telling you, but there's half a session.
Yeah, you could shortcut it by doing your homework before you show up.
Absolutely. You have to want it more than me,
yeah.
If that's possible.
Great stuff. And great, amazing tools for a business owner who may not be familiar with how to show up in the media. We've been visiting with Gail Murphy. She's an expert on the subject, all things media. The website, www.interviewtactics.com. Gail, thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Thanks, David.
Small Biz America.
The brain.
Online at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.